Matthew 26:47. And while he had spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled that thus it must be? In the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. This far I desire that we read in our first. Starting with the verse number 48-47 of Gospel according to Saint Matthew, we read that while the Lord yet spake to the disciples, what the Lord was talking to them about already was taking place, and Judas with the band from the high priests and Sadducees and the other leaders in Jerusalem, with the band of mainly young people, soldiers of the temple and the others that were most vigorous supporters of the leaders in Jerusalem, appeared. They were armed with swords and staves. They came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. And the betrayer, Judas Iscariot, that was numbered as one of the 12 disciples of our Lord, was right there with them. And he gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. It was night, and perhaps the garments, the clothing that they had, would cover their faces, their heads, and of course their bodies, and it was not easy to recognize who is who, other than for those that were quite familiar. So Judas is giving them a sign to avoid confusion and to make this arrest successful, effective. And so Judas comes straight to the Lord, and with that traditional greetings that obviously was a custom among the believers in those days, he greeted the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have any information if the Lord replied. It seems that he did not. The reply did not came in another kiss, but in words. So he came straight forward and said, Hail, Master, and then kissed the Lord. The Lord answered to him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? What is the reason of thy coming? was the purpose. And of course, Judas had nothing to answer, nothing good to answer. Perhaps Judas stepped aside because he fulfilled his promise, his pledge, that he is going to lead this mob of Jews to the place and straight to the person that they wanted to arrest. And then we have the account given in the Gospel according to St. John, when the Lord said, "Whom seek ye?" And they answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he told them, "I am," which to them plainly meant that he is Jesus of Nazareth. It also reminds us of the great I am that God revealed himself to our father Abraham, and then later on confirmed to Moses. And Moses said, "When I go to Pharaoh, what shall I say? Who sent me? Who appeared to me? Whose name I'm talking? When I go to the elders of the people of Israel, how shall I tell them?" And the Lord said, "Thou shalt tell them the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And then he also said to Moses, "I am that I am." So the other gods are the gods that are not gods. But our God is God that really is. It also may signify that God is not someone that was or shall be. He always is. For him there is no past. He never grows older. He never forgets. For him there is nothing that might be in the future. The Lamb of God was slain. He calls that which is not as if it is. And great powers and great kingdoms that are in the world or were in the world, he marked them as nothing, because into nothing they shall turn. When the disciples expected the Lord to admire the beautiful building, great building of the temple, the Lord said, "See ye not all this? The time is coming when not even a stone upon a stone will remain. Everything will be destroyed." So the Lord was looking forward to that time when everything will be finished, when his mission will be accomplished, and when the end of sin and woe will be imposed upon sin and woe. And when the glory of the Father and of the Son will reach the whole, will fill the whole realm, the whole domain of the universe, everything will be filled with God's glory. Now, when we think about that, and we think about our Lord Jesus, our Savior, as the great I Am, He is, then we can understand a little bit more, a bit deeper, perhaps a little bit higher and wider, that the universe already is filled with God's glory. When our Lord and Savior surrendered into the hands of sinners, he did not do that because he had nothing else to do. He had to do it. He was not forced into that. If he had to do it, he had to do it because he wanted to. And if there was anything that he cannot do, it's only because he does not want to do it. Perhaps it can be explained to some extent, and I think it never, as long as we are in the flesh, will be possible to explain completely. How can there be that the Almighty has something he cannot do? How can there be that he wants to do something and cannot? He is limited only by his will, by his intention, by his nature. There is no limit. There are no borders, no frame of his power and his might. But also, there are no limits of his perfect, pure, and holy love. And everything in the Lord is consistent. There are no contradictions, no discrepancies. And so, as there is nothing of that nature in his being, there is nothing of that nature in his word. If the word is translated correctly, if we understand the word clearly, there is a perfect harmony in the word of God. And if we cannot understand, that's because of our imperfection. So, when the Lord said to them, "I am," they stumbled backwards and fell on their back. Well, that must be quite an experience for the mob. There were quite a few of them, whole crowd. Somehow they stumbled backwards sufficiently and made plenty of room for each one of them to fall down to the ground. Well, what is the character of these people? How darkened are their minds? We can see in the next step. They get up and they are crowded again like dogs that are growling, ready to bite, but scared, afraid, like beasts, led by that great beast about which we read in Revelation, in the Revelation. So, they're standing there, and looking at him, and yet they dare not to do anything. So he said to them, "Whom seek ye? What do you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And the Lord replied, "I told you, I'm the one. If ye seek me, let these go their way." So he protected his disciples. Yet some of the disciples, perhaps all of them, thought that they should defend their master. See, kings of this earth, they have power, and their power is in those that support them. Have you ever seen a king that is so powerful to destroy the army of the enemies on his own? No. The kings use their people. And their soldiers, their armies protect their kings. But in this case, our Lord and Savior ruled everything in such a way as to reveal that his kingdom is not a kingdom of this world. It was a different kingdom, different power. Just as the king was different than any earthly king. So they got up again. They allowed the disciples, or at least there is no attempt on the part of the mob to arrest the disciples. Perhaps they would like to, but they are still so much afraid that they don't know what to do. The Lord surrendered into their hands. But then Peter grabbed the sword and wanted to battle, to fight. Probably Malchus, the servant of the high priest, tried to escape Fedor, struck by the sword, and he lost his ear. And the Lord looked at Peter and said, "Return the sword. Put up thy sword into its place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." Remember, before, as he talked to the disciples, when I sent you without money and without bags and so on, have ye lacked anything? And they said, "Nothing, Lord." But then he answered, "But now, if anyone has all of that, take it with you." And the disciples said, "Master, here are two knives or two swords." And he said, "It is enough." Obviously, he didn't say that two swords are enough to battle a mob that is coming. It was enough of that misunderstanding. Stop that. I'm not telling you about physical or metal swords. I'm telling you spiritual things. But they did not understand at that time. So here Peter grabbed, perhaps this was one of the two swords or two knives that they had. But the Lord answered, "For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." Obviously Peter was stopped, confused. What to do now? The Lord answered further, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" You know, the Lord is giving another lesson to Peter and to the rest of the disciples. And the mob is waiting there to arrest the Lord. They just have to wait. They can do nothing before he will allow them to do what they want to do. But then the Lord says, "But now, how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" What we see here, that the Lord is saying something to Peter in a way that might help Peter to understand. No angel was necessary there. The Lord said the word and they all fell backward. If he repeated the same thing will happen to them again. They have no power over him. So, after this saying to Peter, the Lord turned to the mob. But in this lesson to Peter, the Lord used a multitude of angels just to show Peter that all the power of heaven is at the disposal of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he didn't come here to reveal the power of God's wrath and judgment, but the power of God's grace. So then he turned to the mob and he said to them, "Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." The Lord is talking calmly, peacefully. He's not scared to death. He's not astonished. He's not frozen with fear. No. He's just telling them to fulfill the prophecies. He's saying to them these words to show, to reveal to us today that he as he was, has been, always is, so he remained. The power of the creation that created the whole universe is to us presented here in creating something new. The universe is marred with sin, with the rebellion of Satan, with the rebellion of the mankind. What is left is the purity and the holiness in heaven. Now the prince of that heavenly kingdom has come down. He came down and he appeared before men as another man, as a relative, close relative, that has the power and all the qualifications to redeem what is impoverished by sin. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But as they were leading him, Peter the apostle went from a distance, following the Lord to see the end. Now, Peter is confused that much that he does not know what to do, and yet his natural strong will and courage still helps him to make the next step, to go after this mob to see what is going to happen. He wants to see the end. I think, beloved, that Peter had in his heart still a lot of love for his master, his teacher. He could not just go away and forget about everything. Peter is only a man. He is very human. In this moment, at this moment, he is confused. And yet, there is something that binds him to the Savior. But being confused and following from a distance, not being ready to fulfill his pledge, "I am ready to live and die with thee." Well, yes, Peter would. Peter would go into a battle with the Lord. He would swing the sword. He would try to destroy those that he saw as his enemies, as the enemies of the Lord. But the Lord does not want that. The Lord is going to battle with a different power, power of patience, self-denial, sacrifice. And so Peter does not understand that. He is confused, and yet he will not leave him. He follows and goes into the palace of the high priest. Peter is trapped in a place that he is not ready to face. In the meantime, as they were leading or dragging the Lord, now arrested, now they feel stronger, now they see that they have him in their hands. A young man, someone of whom we know nothing before nor after, just a young person, a young man. He appears out of the darkness and he disappears in the darkness. He comes obviously unprepared. He is not dressed up as the rest of the people. He had only a linen sheet covering his body. Perhaps this man was sleeping somewhere in the garden. Perhaps he was disturbed by the noise, by the people going around. So he came to see what's going on. Maybe. In any case, a young man appeared there And he came closer, obviously closer than Peter. But this young man ran away further than Peter. They grabbed him, but apparently the young man was quick. Or perhaps he was scared more than the monk. When they wanted to grab him, they probably thought that he was one of the disciples. And as they grabbed him, they had in their hands only that linen sheet. And the young man slipped out of their hands and fled, ran away, naked. Naked in darkness. See, there is a difference between those that come with curiosity just to see what is that religion, what is that Bible, what is that, who is that Christ, God and man. They come quickly and they disappear quickly. They are covered loosely and they run away naked. You see, there are two kinds of young people. Young people that are running to and fro, not having direction in their lives. But there is also the other kind. Afterward, when the Lord was talking to Peter and asked him, "Lovest thou me, Simon, son of Jonah?" And when Peter answered third time, it was said, and the Lord said, "Follow me." As Peter was physically walking after the Lord and following him, obviously there was another private conversation that is not recorded. The Lord would not ask Peter to follow him without a reason. But as Peter turned back, hearing some steps probably behind, he saw the youngest disciple coming right after him. And Peter, perhaps being embarrassed with the preceding conversation, three times the same question, "Lovest thou me?" or similar question. Perhaps Peter wanted to avoid more embarrassment. You see, when we are embarrassed, the more people see that, the more embarrassed we are. So Peter turned back and saw John, and then Peter says, "Lord, what about him? He has to go with us?" And the Lord said, "Thou follow me. If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to thee? Thou follow me." And so there is that other kind of young people that follow the Lord. And it is our hope and our prayer that there will be always at least some of the old, some of the middle aged, and some of the young ones to follow the Lord. Because in the Lord there is no hierarchy. He is the head. We are the members. And the Lord had love, and in that love was strength for the elderly, wisdom for the young, compassion for the needy, example for everyone. He was and is and will continue to be all in all to all that come unto him. And so as we follow the Lord, we can see, as we follow through these verses by reading and meditating upon the Word of God, we can see the horror, we can see the outrage of the powers of darkness. We can see the awful grip that Satan had on the souls of those that were the enemies of God's word, the enemies of the gospel. We can see the instability and struggle of those that follow the Savior from a distance. We can see the insecurity of those that only come to see, just to take a look at the Word of God. But then we also can see that in everything God has not forgotten anyone. The disciples were scattered, yet they were gathered. Peter did deny the Lord, and yet he confirmed his love for the Lord. One is called by the words of the Lord, loud words. The Lord said to Peter, "Come and follow me." The other one is called by that inner voice, that soft, gentle voice. It was not necessary that the Lord said to John, "And thou also follow me." He followed. So we can see that in his suffering, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the Almighty God. Nothing escaped. Nothing was forgotten. Nothing was left to the power of darkness other than the one or those that willfully embraced the power of darkness. They clutched to the evil one, and some of them remained the victims of their own darkness. It's amazing how the Lord is taking care of everything. May that also encourage us when we feel discouraged. May that impress us when we are depressed. May the Word of God reveal to us that the greater the darkness in this world there be, the more clearly the light of the Word of God is seen far and wide. But the best, that light is seen when we are close to it.